Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Rosie
and Carmen
from Bones UK, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in five songs with host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
All right, welcome back again to another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good folks at Pantheon. I am pleased, as always, to be part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. We've had some pretty cool announcements recently about HD. Neil Young's given us some kudos. Very cool. But yes, we're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff happening with the company right now. A lot of cool stuff happening with this episode. We are going to be calling this episode, episode 46, The Foreigner Effect. And I have to give a shout out to Michael Hannon, the Hanninator, Hill Jack, Salty Dog, American Dog, for putting this over the top with coming up with one clear example of the foreigner effect that I had forgotten. And then I finished it up with coming up with one. I already had three clear-cut ones. I threw some other ideas out there, and the tribe is active. We've got Thomas Hackney and Augustine. Rich Catino's given me some good examples for my Springsteen-alike episode. Who else is on here? We got Vanya. Yeah, a lot of people have been basically putting in a lot of good ideas here. Jacob Tannehill seconded Michael's cool idea to make this episode go over the top. So yeah, it's good to get some nice help here. We've got Arthur Raisin as well. He's been commenting on my possibly putting Van Halen, Van Hager 5150 in this one, but I didn't need it because we've got great examples of this. So let's get on with this. But yeah, thanks again to everybody when I put out these questions, queries, saying who else can I put in an episode to top this up. So it's very, very active over there at the Facebook site for History in Five Songs. All right, so we are calling this one The Foreigner Effect, and we are calling it this because the idea here is there are a bunch of 70s bands, 70s acts, that eventually look to their left at this rock scrabble band put together by a bunch of guys from bands that didn't go anywhere, Black Sheep and Spooky Tooth and whatnot, and they're on Atlantic, and suddenly they just take off like a bottle rocket. Foreigner does amazing. They've got this cool thing going with this kind of like gritty hard rock sound, but with keyboards in it. And the big thing here, well, besides the songwriting, is Lou Gramm. You've got this great sort of, offspring of Paul Rogers, I suppose, in there as a vocalist. And they just do amazing. Double Vision is even bigger than the first one. Head Games does great. Foreigner 4. So they're this amazing band, 77, 78, 79, into 80, 81. This is their big heyday. And it's not without some coincidence that everything we're going to talk about happens just after that heyday, because basically, bands, everybody's trying to look to have a hit, and everybody's kind of looking at this Foreigner band and thinking, oh, they're pretty cool. I mean, not everybody. I mean, this is an isolated little phenomenon that happens, but it's very, very pronounced. And so essentially, here's some bands kind of really changing their spots, inspired by the success of Foreigner, more or less, or bands like Foreigner, but really it's Foreigner. And when you listen to this stuff, you're going to really understand why I'm saying it's Foreigner. Okay. So let's kick it off with our first one here on History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff. This is Rainbow with Stone Cold. Another dog.
Oh,
All right, so the story with Rainbow, of course, is that they are a Demons and Wizards band, an offspring of Deep Purple. They've got Ronnie James Dio in there doing all this cool mystical stuff with Rising and Long Live Rock and Roll. Then they have this pretty, this really cool, I think it's my favorite Rainbow album, with Graham Bonnet on vocals. And, you know, they have a little bit of like a Foreigner-ish type hit with their cover of Since You've Been Gone and All Night Long and these songs. There's a little bit of party stuff in there, but it's a really heavy album. It really rankles me when people don't realize how heavy that record is. But essentially, he only lasts the one record. And then what happens is we get Joe Lynn Turner into the band. Now, this is a guy from also from kind of a failed band that didn't go anywhere, a New York band called Fandango. And essentially, so Richie brings this guy in because Richie loves pop. He wants to have a hit. He loves Foreigner. He's said so. He loves ABBA. And essentially, Rainbow ride the rest of their career out with these 1, 2, 3 albums with Joe Lynn Turner at the helm. And as you can tell on that song, it is very, very Foreigner like, and they have other songs throughout this period that are similar. Now, yes, incredibly different band from the first half of the band. It's almost like two different bands. But did it really work? Not really. I mean, this isn't even the most critically acclaimed version of Rainbow, and they did well. They were a working band. They did all right, but they didn't have any. Nothing went gold, so they had no certifications out of this. But yeah, essentially, Rainbow became quite a Foreigner-like band. You know, heavier. There's still Richie doing his classical-based stuff across these records and some other forms of heavy music. But there's definitely a strong Foreigner vibe, and it comes from this very Lou Gramm-style singer in Joe Lynn Turner. All right. So, moving on, our second one here on History in 5 Songs. Take a listen to this. This is Uriah Heep with The Other Side of Midnight. All right, so Uriah Heep, very similar situation. They go from this kind of like proggy, where are we going kind of band. They really kind of lost their way, especially with Conquest, 1979, I believe it is. And they're going through a lot of members. They're basically dead in the water. So they come back with a fantastic, amazing album right in the thick of the new wave of British heavy metal called Abominog. But it's a completely reconstituted band. They've got Bob Daisley, great, great bassist writer in there. And more than anything, they've got this Pete Golby guy on vocals, an unknown essentially, but he has a very Lou Gramm-ish type voice, and they start writing in that direction. So there's those keyboard stabs that you get in there. You get a little bit more commercial writing. He is around for 3 records with the band. I love these records. I love the Rainbow records. And in fact, a theme of all of this episode is that I'm actually quite happy when all these bands do this. It's actually pretty cool. But yeah, these records are fantastic. This song I just played you was off of the second one of the 3. This is off of Head First, and then they had one called Equator, where the production is not so good on it. It's a little bit clattery. I believe it's Tony Platt producing that one. But this one sounds great. Abominog is an amazing classic album. And there you go. So Uriah Heep basically turn into a gritty, heavy. They still have those harmonies, but Pete Golby, this voice sort of dominates things. It's still Mick Box, it's still Lee Kerslake, but basically he kind of dominates because a voice like Lou Gramm or like Paul Rodgers just dominates. And they kind of write in that direction, and they make these 3 super fine records. All right, let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. We shall be right back. All right, back again. Here we are in History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff. This is episode 46, The Foreigner Effect. What happens when this massive, massive band, Foreigner, starts getting into your head, getting inside your head, and you know, you're about to lose your record deal, and you're not making any money, and you're still not headlining, and you're still not a sandwich band, and you got all these parts, but it's time to, like, reconfigure what's going on. So all these bands are kind of doing that. And our next one here, take a listen to this. This is Kansas with Fight Fire with Fire. All right, so this is from the Drastic Measures album. It's the second album with a new lead singer, John Elefanti, replacing, you know, the awesome Steve Walsh. You know, Steve Walsh is also a little bit of that precursor to Lou Gramm. He's got some of those styles to him as well, and he's got that same timbre. And John Elefanti comes in and on the previous album, Vinyl Confessions, and it's a little bit in this direction, but it's still a little bit of the old Kansas, and there's some friction in the band. Robbie Steinhardt, the violinist, leaves the band because of the increasing Christian leanings, which come from Kerry Livgren. Livgren wrote a lot of that record. So he's gone for this record, and I love this record. I think Drastic Measures is a fantastic Kansas album, but people would say it's not a Kansas album. It's not purist. It sounds like Foreigner. So that's kind of the deal, and you hear that with this Fight Fire with Fire song. This was a bit of a hit off this record, and the other really cool song that was a bit of a hit is called Everybody's My Friend. You get that kind of voice with this guy, and he also he's a keyboardist too, so that's a big thing, you know, so keyboards is on his mind, and keyboards is a big part of Foreigner as well. But he's also in there writing a lot of the songs. This doesn't last, though. He is basically out. 3 years go by, and Steve Walsh is back for the next album called Power. But definitely Kansas is right in there doing this thing, trying to be commercial, trying to have a hit. And they're doing it in the Foreigner way. And I want to mention that a lot of these Southern rock bands, you might call Kansas a little bit Southern rocky, all of them kind of tried this. This is almost a whole episode on its own. They all tried this sort of commercially thing, but I examined these bands to see if any would fit in this episode, and they really didn't. They tried a commercial thing. It's more of like a pre-80s, early 80s hair metal thing, a lot of melody, but not particularly the Foreigner thing. We're talking your Blackfoots and your Molly Hatchet specifically more so. But yeah, there you go. So Kansas definitely fits in this thing of this the Foreigner effect. Okay, moving on. Number 4. Take a listen to this. This is Ted Nugent with Where Do You Draw the Line? You and you let me down. Great song, and again, I have to reiterate, I mean, I am pretty much on board when these bands have done this Foreigner effect type thing. The previous Ted Nugent album to this is just called Nugent. I think it's one of his worst albums. There's all sorts of shifting personnel. It's basically the party's over with that record. Actually, Intensities I never liked either. So I love Scream Dream. I love State of Shock. So basically, 79 into 80, it's kind of all over for me with Ted, but you know, they come back. I mean, I really think this Penetrator album, so this came out in 1984, is a good, creditable Ted Nugent album. And again, it really doesn't sound like a Ted Nugent album. This is not his thing, but you have this voice, and the voice is Brian Howe. He's a bit of an unknown, but he comes in and again, he dominates because a voice like Lou Gramm dominates. So basically, this is a pretty good, solid, early hair metal, heavy Bryan Adams. Like Bryan Adams is an important thing to mention here. This is a Bryan Adams Jim Vallance composition. Now, this is something that these bands do. Uriah Heep did this as well. They had covered the Adams Vallance Lonely Nights on that previous record. So here you have that happening again. And generally when bands do this, they do try to bring in some outside songwriting. So across all these, you definitely get a little bit of outside songwriting coming into the idea. So the Penetrator album, I thought was a really good album, and I really like Little Miss Dangerous too, and that's also somewhat in this vein. And then after that, he's kind of lost again. He's there's If You Can't Lick 'Em, and what else? We got Spirit of the Wild later. He does Damn Yankees. Damn Yankees is kind of in the style of this Penetrator album. It's like a late period hair metal band, and they actually do really well. They actually sell a lot of records, Damn Yankees, and that's a bit of a super group. So yeah, Penetrator, Little Miss Dangerous into Damn Yankees, and what's the second one called? Don't Tread. They only made two records. Those four almost feel like a suite of albums, and they are sweet albums, and I think Penetrator is absolutely a sweet album, and I think Brian Howe was a great addition to the band doing this. I gotta mention, he definitely fits into the Ted Nugent band, because previously they had Charlie Hune, who basically sounds like this. Charlie Hune could do a pretty good Lou Gramm himself, but Charlie is his own guy. I mean, his voice isn't exactly like that. But Brian does feel like kind of Charlie Hune coming in again. Derek St. Holmes, that's a little different again. Also an amazing singer. All three of these guys are great singers. So let's move into our last choice in episode 46, The Foreigner Effect. Take a listen to this and we'll discuss. This is Bad Company with Long Walk. It's time to rethink. Somehow find a way to put an end to this mystery. See, I don't know. Ooh, the pain won't go. Never hurt inside. Yes, all right, so what's interesting here is that, guess what? We have the exact same lead singer as we had on the Ted Nugent song in the Ted Nugent album. Brian Howe leaps from the Ted Nugent band into Bad Company. Where's Paul Rodgers, you may ask? Well, he's gone. So the other interesting thing here is the guy who starts out this whole thing, starts off this whole Lou Gramm thing, is Paul Rodgers. Paul Rodgers is the original Lou Gramm, across that Free material and all those classic Bad Company hits. It's that phrasing. It's that way of, it's almost like a casual, a little bit of a talking style in there, a little bit of a scat style, a little bit of ad-libbing, and just this really cool, sonorous, bluesy voice. So the pedigree is Paul through Lou into these guys. And yeah, put Charlie Hune in there, I suppose. And so here we have Brian Howe coming in from the Penetrator album. This is off of the Fame and Fortune album, issued October 22nd, 1986. Out of all of these, I would say, my favorite time that this is done out of all of these, like the most successful creatively to me, is Uriah Heep, followed by Rainbow. Kansas is a brief period, but I do love Drastic Measures. Ted Nugent, I'm not a crazy off the hook fan of Penetrator in that style, but to me, that's the bright spot in Ted's career, really, from Nugent all the way up into, that Crave Man Love Grenade era, which I love. There's nothing in there in between that I think is all that great, except for I do quite like Penetrator and Little Miss Dangerous. So I mention all this to say Bad Company is kind of in that Ted Nugent camp, that Kansas camp, tied for third, fourth, and fifth, because you know, I think this is good stuff. It's a creditable era for them. I mean, I worship the original Bad Company. Not worship. I mean, I do like that band. I think they're a really cool band. But the interesting thing about this Brian Howe era is that, so this doesn't certify, but 1988's Dangerous Age goes gold, 1990's Holy Water goes platinum, and Here Comes Trouble, which I believe is 92, goes gold. So he's around in this band for four albums. That's a really good long run, and it's a super successful run for these guys. You know, people forget how Big Bad Company was in this. And, you know, they're basically in there as kind of a bluesy, rootsy, grandfatherly band. So they've got the pedigree from the past, Simon and Mick Ralphs. But they're operating, they've got this guy who allows them to operate in the hair metal zone or be valid in this. So there's a bunch of these hair metal bands that you could come from the 70s and still be successful in hair metal. You could be Ozzy, Alice Cooper, Kiss, Aerosmith. So a lot of these guys, Scorpions did well in the 80s as well. So a lot of these guys, a lot of these guys from the 70s, they're kind of allowed into the club by basically being founders of the club, and with Brian Howe coming in, he gives them that sweet voice, that Brian Adams, that Lou Gramm situation, and they can write around that, and they can write these melodic tunes, and they can have some hits. So this was good. You know, these bands, when they look back at this, you know, at the time, probably, most critics would be saying, who cares, Bad Company, who's this Brian Howe idiot doing this, right? But when these bands look back and when, you know, fans who were there look back at these times, you know, with some rose-colored glasses and 20/20 hindsight and all those cliches, I mean, it's, you know, you're going to look back on your career and realize that you had this extra long run and this second win, and it was just kind of cool having all that and doing all that. So there you go. That's it. So that is episode 46, The Foreigner Effect. I hope you like this. I did want to mention, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah. So I just had another couple of things that I was going to put in if I couldn't find five that were absolutely perfect. And one interesting situation is when Van Halen got Sammy Hagar into the band for their very first album, 5150, they actually had Mick Jones from Foreigner in as the producer. Very odd choice. And I can't say he really did much to the band. I mean, basically, Van Halen is a steamroller of personalities, and that sounds almost more Van Halen-esque than any Van Halen album, except for, you know, this shocking change in the vocalist. But so they do bring a vocalist in who nudges just a little bit closer to the bluesiness, certainly away from what David Lee Roth was doing in Sammy Hagar. But what they do that is a little more Foreigner-ish is there are ballads of various speeds. There is keyboards and more like Mantovani, Haygood Hardy keyboards, not the cool synths of, you know, Jump or, you know, our last episode, right? One Foot Out the Door and stuff like that. No, this is basically big, you know, Hallmark greeting card keyboards, right? So they are essentially doing some Foreigner-ish type things in across all of the Sammy Hagar era. In another one, I wanted to, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting that most people wouldn't know about, but it was too early to say it was because of the Foreigner effect. There's this Canadian band Moxie who had this really cool gruff singer, and they were a really raw, heavy band. And then for their very last album before later reunion stuff, they brought in Mike Reno, who was called on this record, I believe it's called Mike Rynowski or Mike Riznowski. Basically, pre-Loverboy, Mike Reno was in Moxie for their last album. What the heck was it called? Something the lights, Out on the Lights, something like that. Anyways, they became quite a more commercial, softer band, and that guy's voice, you could nudge with a little extra push into this sort of camp. But I believe that record is 1978, so it's not really, you can't really say this is a big Foreigner effect. Foreigner's first album is 1977. Maybe a little bit. You know, you're looking for a hit, and they're thinking that this guy could bring it to him, and boy could he, because Loverboy was nothing to sneeze at. They were a massive, massive band. And there's another band right there. There's a whole band, not one that changed, but there's a whole band that you could say has a little bit of that Foreigner effect. And you know, they're almost that hybrid between the Foreigner effect of Foreigner themselves, and there's also kind of a Foreigner-ness to the whole Bryan Adams phenomenon. Loverboy is there in Vancouver, and Bryan Adams is in Vancouver, and as I mentioned, we've got a couple Bryan Adams covers, across the bands we talked about in this episode. So there you go. Let's wrap it up there. You can go to the History in 5 Songs Facebook page or my personal page. You could also go to and comment, give me suggestions. As you can see, some of these suggestions, I mean, Michael gave me that suggestion, and I was so basically fired up to do this episode. You know, a half hour later, I was doing the episode after getting that one nudge over the top. And then, like I say, me coming up with Kansas. Yeah, go talk there. It's a lively community. You can go to martinpopoff.com for any of my books. You know, I sign them right here in the office and send them out. The latest is Anthem, Rush in the 70s, and Denim and Leather, Saxon's First 10 Years. Yeah, that's what I called it. And the Maiden, only the First Maiden is still available. Both Priests are still available. I'm talking these recent books. Satisfaction, the 10 albums that changed my life that came from the Goldmine column. That was a fun one. But that's it. So we shall sign off. Thanks again for listening. We shall see you again for, hopefully, for episode 47.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.